Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Thank you. And thank you to Jonathan for this opportunity. It's been a while, so I'm a little bit nervous, but we'll get there. We're among friends, aren't we? So happy Mother's Day, and let me add my congratulations to you all, the new mums especially, and happy Mother's Day to those who are online this morning. Today's a day to celebrate mothers, to acknowledge the privilege of being a mother, to honour the role of mothers, and express our gratitude to mothers, especially in a time when mothering is not always valued that much, not valued highly in a lot of parts of our society, and sometimes seen even as a bit of an inconvenience to women. For some here today, there's special joy in celebrating your first Mother's Day. Or maybe there's joy in the fact that your children are growing up a little bit more and you can have them bring you breakfast in bed without making such a mess in the kitchen that you spend the whole rest of the day cleaning it up. Or maybe you get to cradle your children's children, or in the case of Flora, your grandchildren's children. But I'm also conscious that there are other emotions in the room. And when I was a pastor here, I know that for many women, coming to church on Mother's Day was the hardest day of the year to come. It may be your first Mother's Day without your mum, or perhaps your mum no longer recognises you as her child. Or you've had a difficult relationship with your mother, or maybe there's deep pain in that you've never been the mother that you'd hoped you might be. We're instructed in the scriptures to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So we come today conscious of the varying circumstances of one another. So I wonder if you will join me in prayer before I speak. And this prayer is adapted from a prayer by Peter Gregg of 24/7 prayer. So let's pray. Lord, for mothers today, we pray special joy. For those without mothers, we pray comfort. For not yet mothers, we pray hope. For single mothers, we pray grace. And for the lonely, we pray family. May there be moments of comfort and hope today for the mothers of struggling and sick children, for the mothers of prodigals, for the mothers who've lost children, for the mothers who don't know where their children are. May the embrace of grace be with mothers who feel they've failed, with mothers who can't be with their kids, with mothers trying to forget a termination. So if today for you is a day of happiness and celebration, we pray joy. If today is sadder than it is happy, may you know the love and joy and the comfort of being in the family of God. And for those who forgot it was Mother's Day, we pray your abundant mercy. And now, Lord, as we listen for your voice through the scriptures, would you open your word to our heart and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So our topic today is voices of women. We are surrounded by voices. In this day of constant connection and communication, we're bombarded with the clamour of voices, such that it's hard to hear or perceive distinct voices. There's a plethora of voices from social media, voices of culture, voices from family of origin, often whispering in the back of our heads. Voices of friends, of our faith community. The voices we listen to significantly influence our lives and actually help form our identity. A mother's voice is so important to a child. Studies suggest that fetuses begin to recognise and respond to their mother's voice as early as the second trimester. In the womb, the familiar mother's voice stands out from all the other voices and sounds. And for the newborn, the power of a mother's voice as she responds to her baby is an important part of early development. As she speaks to her baby, the hormone oxytocin, sometimes referred to as the love hormone or the bonding hormone is released in both the mother and the baby, enhancing that emotional connection between them and fostering a sense of security and attachment. The sound of a mother's voice has the power to reduce stress for the baby. The Bible is full of stories, and as we listen to these stories, a voice emerges. Overarchingly, the big story of the scriptures is God's voice to us. God is the now speaking God. He continues to speak. His voice is sometimes audible, sometimes heard through others, sometimes through circumstances, sometimes more like a quiet whisper, and other times like a roaring lion. Even creation gives God voice. We read in Psalm 19, 1-4, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The grandeur, the beauty, the awesomeness of creation give voice to God's glory, speaking far more powerfully than words ever could. And the same psalm, Psalm 19, closes in verse 14 with these words. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that is my voice, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In response to God's voice, the desire of the psalmist is that his voice be pleasing to God. God has gifted every one of us a unique voice in the world. And just as God's voice is way more than words, our voice is much more than the sum of our words, for we all know that our lives speak louder than words. So today we're going to listen to the voice of three women from the scriptures. We don't necessarily hear many words they spoke, but their lives give voice and speak powerfully. And my hope is that through their voice, we will hear the voice of God. And at the same time, let's wonder about our God-given voice in the season and the place that God has placed us. And the first voice is the voice of Hagar, and I've called her the unexpected voice. We read her story in Genesis 16. Hagar was the Egyptian slave woman to Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. Sarah usually gets the limelight. She's sort of the favourite, like the blue-eyed girl. But God can unexpectedly take any of our less noticed lives, or seemingly less noticed lives, take our less than ideal circumstances, and speak in and through them. When Sarah could not conceive a child, she contrived her own plan, and she gave her servant Hagar to her husband Abraham, to have a surrogate child. This was not an uncommon practice at the time, but definitely not a wise idea, and especially so that God had given them, Abraham and Sarah, a promise. Hagar became pregnant, and then life became very complicated. Sarah, having created the situation, became jealous of Hagar, mistreating her so badly that Hagar ran away into the desert. Most likely she was returning to her past life, where we often run when things don't seem to be working out. So we find Hagar pregnant, sitting near a spring in the desert. Praise God for springs in the desert. Rejected, feeling unseen, full of fear, as she carried the responsibility of her unborn child alone. No housing assistance scheme or single mother schemes in those days. Unseen by others, but not by God, the angel of the Lord asked her, Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? In the text, Abraham and Sarah had only ever referred to Hagar as my servant or your maidservant. But God called Hagar by name, and he also acknowledged her harsh reality as the servant of Sarah. She answered, I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarah, an honest answer. And while it's tempting to flee in difficult situations, it's rarely the best solution. Facing difficulties takes courage, but usually worth it in the long run. So God told Hagar to return to Sarah, a hard thing to do. But he also gave her a promise. And to remind her that he had heard her, he told her to name her baby son Ishmael, which means God hears. And in response, Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. We read in Genesis 16. She said, You are Elroy, which means the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. In the Old Testament, Hagar is the only person, male or female, who conferred a name on God. In a moment of feeling fully seen, a fearful, rejected, homeless, non-Jewish slave woman boldly declares that which is spiritually true, that God sees and cares for her, especially in the desert times of her life. Seeing God didn't change her situation overnight, but she knew God saw her. Even in the desert places and complex mess of flawed human beings trying to work out their own plans and the grave consequences which we see all around us in our world today and in our own lives, God sees and God hears. It's easy to feel like a Hagar. Others appear to be favoured with promises over their lives. We may feel discarded, unnoticed, unseen. Maybe we feel like that in our families, in our workplace, in our careers. And I especially think of those mums who at significant cost have prioritised their work life to be with their young children and often feel really non-valued in our society. Maybe we feel it on behalf of our kids in a world where the prettiest and the cleverest and the fastest and the strongest always seem to take centre stage. And that's reinforced over and over again in our social media world. But God sees. He knows each and every one of us and each and every one of our children by name. He sees each and every situation. And God hears our cry. And he has a promise for each and every one of us. And unlike the many fickle promises of politicians that we've heard a lot over the last few weeks, God's promises are good, they're sure, they're steadfast, they're grounded in his character and his unfailing love and faithfulness. He is with us and he's for us. Hagar was a bit like that bruised reed we read about in Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. She was afraid, about to break. We all encounter scary places in our lives. Maybe like raising children in a world of social media, being a mother of sick children or children with disabilities, or the desperate mum not knowing how to handle a difficult child, or the mother whose child is going through a divorce, or when you're unable to repair a relationship with your child, or maybe your own strong, dependable mother is diagnosed with a serious health condition. Or your scary place might just be an unknown future. God met Hagar at her lowest point, and he can do that with any of us. In the desert of silence and solitude, where we're suddenly in search of help outside of ourselves, we are faced with the choice to turn to God or run from him. Our scary place is an invitation to be found by God in the place he's most faithfully been found throughout of all of human history, at his feet in prayer. And we are in an infinitely better place than Hagar. The Holy Spirit is with us. We are never alone. Our situations may not change overnight, but in his presence, we will discover he is good. He is faithful. And like the amazing resilience of those desert flowers that we see blossoming in the harsh desert conditions, life blooms in the most unexpected places. I was a young 23-year-old mum with a six-week-old baby, and we had just arrived in London where Simon had been transferred for work. We had a baby in arms. We thought it was a good idea to not buy a pram before we went because we'd get one in London, and a small bag left our suitcases at Heathrow Airport because we weren't sure where we were going to go. And I can still recall the fear as we stood at a busy intersection in London, feeling dreadfully tired, alone, afraid, and suddenly so unqualified to be responsible for this tiny, helpless baby. That was in the day when you only made international calls for special occasions. You couldn't just text help. In that moment, though, I just knew that God was with me. And there have been so, so many more scary places over the 42 years of being a mum. Moments of sitting in the wilderness, of unknowing, fearful, tearful, often on my knees on my lounge room floor. But God was faithful to me as a young, inexperienced, quite naive, desperate mum in the middle of an intersection in London, and he's continued to be faithful to this mid-60-year-old mum who's now blessed to be a grandmother and who still needs to know that God sees and hears me as much, if not more now, as then. I'm still afraid at times and worried, but I know God is infinitely good and faithful. I'm so thankful for the unexpected voice of Hagar that reminds us that in our desert places, God sees, God hears, God is with us and for us. And the second voice is the voice of Hephzibah. And I've called her the quiet voice. I love Hephzibah, and I've longed to preach on Hephzibah, so thank you, Jonathan. My daughters are probably glad that I didn't know this name before they were named, or they might bear this name. Her name appears in the Old Testament only twice, in 2 Kings and Isaiah 62, and just very short references. Hephzibah was the wife of King Hezekiah of Judah. What an amazing couple, Hephzibah and Hezekiah. They were amazing. She is associated with royalty and influence, though no detail is provided about her personal story. The line of kings in Judah and Israel reads like good king, bad king, good king, bad king. And the nation was shaped by the king's response to God. Hephzibah's husband was good King Hezekiah. He destroyed the pagan temples, the idols and the altars. He cleaned out and reopened God's temple in Jerusalem, and he reinstituted the Passover festival as he looked to God. But sadly, when he died, bad King Manasseh, his son, reigned, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He rebuilt the idols and the altars that his father had destroyed. He turned away from God. And so we read in 2 Kings 21:1, his, that is Manasseh's mother's name, was Hephzibah. Now names are very important in the scriptures, and her name means my delight is in her, or she is my delight. A statement of great affection. In the middle of the mess, of the chaos, of her evil son's reign, Hephzibah's name strongly suggests a woman of faith who God delights in. When we turn to Isaiah 62, her name takes on a more powerful meaning. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied to good King Hezekiah, who responded positively to God. And during the subsequent reign of bad King Manasseh, Isaiah said, "Because I love Zion, I will not keep silent. I will not stop praying for Jerusalem until once again her righteousness shines like the dawn. Until you return to the Lord, until the nations around you see God's glory again." And then he says, "Then in that day, when you return, you will no longer be called deserted, forsaken, desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah. For the Lord will again take delight in you. Your God will rejoice over you." Hephzibah's name becomes more than just about an individual mother. It becomes a metaphor for God's promise to his people that no matter how dire the circumstances, his mercy and his divine promise of hope and restoration and relentless love will prevail, with power to restore again and again, for his love endures forever. Amen. There are ugly times in Israel's history, and actually there's ugly times in our history, both in the world and, if we're honest, in our own lives. There are times of apathy, disobedience, rebellion, selfishness, forgetting God, creating our own idols, idols of accomplishment, productivity, success, idols of security, approval, materialism, comfort. But God offers the hope of renewal in every single season of life. And no matter the extent of the darkness, there are always those who shine the brighter in dark times, in whom are God's delight. Many, many, many years later in the story of King Manasseh, we read these words of Manasseh. "He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and the Lord was moved and listened to his plea. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God." And King Josiah, the great-grandson of Hephzibah, led reforms that turned the hearts of the people back to God. Hephzibah was part of the redemptive story in Judah. She was a voice of hope in God's faithfulness and patience spanning across the generations. In the lineage of Jesus, in the book of Matthew, we read the names of Hezekiah and Manasseh. And I can hear, though it's not there and we can't read it, the quiet whisper of the steadfastly faithful and hopeful voice of Hephzibah. This, the coming of Jesus, is the ultimate fulfillment of the hope her name represents. God's love will prevail. Kings come, kings go, kingdoms come, kingdoms go. But the King of all kings and his kingdom will never end. That is our hope, and we too can give voice to that hope. I think the late Queen Elizabeth II was a Queen Hephzibah. At times, her family caused her so much heartache in such a public way, but she was steadfast in her faith. My delight is in her. Our voice can be that of a Hephzibah, as we be a voice testifying to God's relentless love and desire to restore in our world. Among others, I think of Julia from Destiny Rescue and Jen Quatermain with EmpowerAid and Beck Oates with Tear Fund, sharing the hope of restoration in the places they go. I think of those who share the hope of restoration as they go into prisons. Our voices can be a voice of hope in the steadfast love of God in our families. Mothers, grandmothers, aunties, is your voice a bridge of faith and hope spanning across generations like Hephzibah? So many would say it's their grandmother's prayers that were so influential in their lives. Simon would testify to his coming to the Lord, largely being influenced by his grandmother's faithfulness and her prayers. Pope Francis died recently on Easter Monday. He was a voice of Jesus' love to some of the poorest and most marginalized people in our world. His grandmother had a great influence on his life and, among other things, taught him as a very young child a simple 7-word prayer that he actually taught to the world in St. Peter's Square in 2020 And this was the prayer. Jesus, make my heart more like yours. What a profound and simple prayer. Jesus, make my heart more like yours. We don't even know his grandmother's name, but she was the quiet voice of a Hephzibah in his life. My delight is in her. A prophetic voice of truth, hope, and promise, testifying to God's enduring, loving faithfulness, is so needed in such a time as this. An unstable world, things changing so quickly, anxiety at an all-time high. I wonder, where are the weary, wounded, anxious places and people in your life where reassurance and peace and hope and restoration are needed? I'm so thankful for the quiet voice of Hephzibah, her steadfast trust and hope in God's faithfulness and his mercy and his grace and desire to restore. Life's difficult chapters don't have to define us. Instead, we are defined by our trust and hope in God. And as we continue to trust him, albeit imperfectly, we too can experience the joy of knowing God's delight in us, that he rejoices over us. And I've called the third voice the nameless voice. She's commonly known as the woman at the well. Her voice, though nameless, has echoed down through the centuries. And we read of the encounter of this woman with Jesus in John chapter 4. She was a Samaritan woman, shamed by her past and shamed in the present. She was a social outcast. She'd had five husbands, not married to her current lover. She was shunned by the other women who went together to draw water in the early morning. But this woman went alone, hiding in the quiet time of the heat of the hot day. To arrive thirsty and hot and find another sitting there, a Jewish man at that, Jews hated Samaritans, must have been so disappointing. But water was necessary. So we can imagine with downcast eyes, she shamefacedly approached the well. And shockingly, the man spoke to her, asking her for a drink of water. Men rarely spoke to women in public in that day, let alone a Jewish man to a Samaritan woman, an obviously outcast Samaritan woman. "Why ask me for a drink?" she asked. She knew, and he knew, that for a Jew to even touch the cup of an unclean Samaritan woman would make him unclean. And so begins a conversation whereby Jesus offers her water, not common well water, but living water. In the commonplace of her everyday life, Jesus met this no-name woman, saw beyond her past to the person, and told her not only who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, but offered to her himself living water, salvation, eternal life, spiritual nourishment that would satisfy her deepest need and not just get her through another day. And it was to this shamed, foreign, outcast woman that no one liked or wanted that in John's Gospel, Jesus verbalized his identity as the Messiah for the very first time. "I who speak to you am he," Jesus said. Jesus went out of his way to take this portrait of a woman shunned by all and crippled by shame and included her to show he's for everyone and he can meet anyone where they are. An unnamed woman who needed water embraced the one who offered her living water, embracing God's kindness, forgiveness, love, and grace. And she, in turn, became the voice of hope to others as she, the first unlikely evangelist, ran off to tell her town. In a moment, an everyday place was turned into a holy place, and her silenced voice of shame was set free to be a voice testifying to Jesus as Lord. All children love to play hide and seek, and let's be honest, little children are not very good at hiding. every single time they go to the same place, usually where we've hidden before them. And as we pretend to look, they usually disclose their secret spot before we can even start looking. But as they get older, they get better at hiding. I wonder if we're not the same with God. The shame of past mistakes makes us want to hide. And let's face it, most mums carry some shame about their past parenting, if we're honest. As we get older, we get better and more sophisticated at hiding that shame. Behind relentless entertainment, addictions, busyness, shopping, accomplishments. But Jesus knows all our best hiding places. And he invites us to be honest with ourselves and with him, offering us the living water of freedom and forgiveness. Common places like wells and our homes often turn out to be the most holy of places. Jesus turns up there and offers the living water of his presence into every part of our lives. I'm so thankful for the voice of the no-name woman at the well, who reminds us that Jesus goes out of his way to offer water to anyone and everyone, that he longs for us to come out of our hiding from our shame into the freedom of finding our voice to go and tell others. The world needs to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. His voice needs to be heard in all places, our homes, our workplaces, our communities, our world. A woman was first at the cradle and women were last at the cross. So women have an important voice, as men do, but it's Mother's Day, remember? The God who created you has gifted you a voice to offer to this world. I wonder where God is calling you to use your voice in this season now. We all know seasons come and seasons go, and it takes wisdom and honesty and courage to discern the season we're in and respond appropriately. I love the season of being a mum of young children. I love the season of being on staff here, but those seasons have ended. In this new season, I feel God calling me to encourage others to use their voices, so I'm doing study at the moment in spiritual mentoring. The most important voice for you in this season may be the quiet voice of calm to your unborn baby. Maybe the voice of security to your anxious child. Might be the voice of acts of kindness to a fellow struggling mum. Or it might be like that nameless woman who ran off exuberantly to tell her town or to tell the world. Might be at home or in a classroom or in a hospital or in a courtroom to a neighbour. It might be to a struggling child or an elderly friend or maybe in another land. But as you use your voice and live your life to the glory of God, may you know his voice, the voice of God, declaring over you, "My delight is in you. You are my delight." And as we finish now, I wonder if we might just spend some time in quiet prayer. And I particularly want to pray for the women here today, right from the youngest girls right through to the most senior amongst us. So I wonder if we might just pray together. Firstly, I wonder where you need to hear God's voice today. Maybe you need to hear his voice calling you to come out from your shame, reminding you that he didn't come to condemn, but to offer living water. Or maybe you need to hear his voice reminding you that God sees you and hears you, especially in the scary desert places. Or maybe you need to hear his voice reminding you of his faithfulness as you continue to hope and pray for restoration in your life, in the lives of those in your family, or in the world around you. For each of you, whatever your situation, I want to pray this blessing over you. My prayer is that the Lord, the faithful, unchanging God, would bless you. That the Lord would sustain you and keep you steady in the hope and faithfulness and promises of His unfailing love. I pray that you would be aware of His face being turned towards you, knowing He sees you, that He hears you, that He's with you and He's for you. That you'd know His grace and loving kindness poured out on you this day and every day. I pray that you'd know His grace and forgiveness as He calls you to walk in freedom. And that you'd know His divine approval, declaring over you with great exuberance, "You are my delight." And that He'd grant you His peace that passes all human understanding. And as you are blessed, may you go out and use your voice, your life, to be a blessing to those around you, in your families, with your friends, with colleagues in the workplaces, in your communities, in the places in the world, every place in the world. There's so many places that God has placed you for this season in your life. And I pray that in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.